Welcome to the dynamic teaching of Pastor Nife Ibiemi, Lead Pastor of Love Dominion Assembly International. It is his vision to unveil the culture of Zion through the word and discipleship. Ready, set, grow.
The last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters." Verse 39. But this is spoke concerning who? The Spirit, whom those who believe in him would receive. For the Spirit was not yet given. Why? Because Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. So the Spirit was not given at that point because Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. Now, what do you mean? Don't sit yet. So what do we mean by Jesus glorified? For you to say Jesus is glorified, it's not praise and worship. Amen. It's not like, oh, we glorify you today. No, that's not what he's saying there. He said at that point, Jesus was not glorified. So because he was not yet glorified, the Spirit was not yet given. So how, on what ground do we receive the Spirit? On the ground of his glorification. Okay? So I want everybody here, listen. You receive the Spirit on the ground that Jesus has been glorified. Amen. So say this with me. Say, I receive the Spirit on the ground that Jesus has been glorified. So that is if you believe the gospel. If you have not believed the gospel, okay, you know, that confession, okay, it may come out right, okay, but probably you match up with the confession later. Amen. So this is what I'm trying to say here. So when Jesus died, he was buried and ascended up on high. So that was his glorification. When he ascended, so he was glorified. So Jesus said, until I am glorified, then you will not receive the Spirit. Now, you know why I'm saying this? I want to sing a song again. Okay, that song. Amen. He says, the Son of God is glorified. The Son of God. Look at it. So who? So it's not praise and worship. It's not like, oh, we glorify him today. So what you are saying that, when you say the Son of God is glorified, what you are saying directly is that the Spirit is living in me. That's what you are saying. Amen. He said, the Spirit will not be given until who? Jesus is what? Glorified. Let's sing that song again. Maybe you do it, you do it again, okay?
The Son of God is glorified. 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 The Son of God is glorified.
Come on, come on.
The Son of God is
glorified.
Oh,
eyes, understanding in the name of Jesus. As we go into your word, we'll be convinced of your word in the name of Jesus, that you will teach us your ways indeed by your spirit in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can have a seat in God's presence. Say, I'm born of God. Say, I'm born of the Spirit. See, the greater one lives in me. So the Spirit of God is at work in me. See, I'm anointed of God. See, I'm a child of the Spirit. See, I'm one with the Father. Say, I am one with the Father. I am one with the Father. Hallelujah. So we started a series last week on how to decode the leading of the Spirit. How to decode the leading of the Spirit. How to know what God is telling you. How to know that God is leading you in certain ways. Amen. Because I see a lot of people fall in pits, especially when it comes to the leading of the Spirit. The leading of the Spirit is not something that, the thing is this, okay, it's good to say that the leading of the Spirit is given to every believer. You have the Spirit. The Spirit of God is in you. Amen. Say this to me. Say, the Spirit of God is in me. We looked at, so many scriptures is popping to my mind now. We looked at Ezekiel last week. Let's look at Ezekiel. From Ezekiel, we go to John. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel, are you there? Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, it says this in 27. He said, I will put my spirit within you and cause you. Ezekiel 36, 27. He says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgment and do them. Now, look at that again. I mean, this is God speaking to you. God said that, this was a prophecy in the Old Testament by Ezekiel. He said, I jumped because in the beginning part, he said, I will cleanse you from all your idols. He said, I will sprinkle clean water, and cleanse you from all your idols. Amen. So look at that. Probably it's good for us to look at that part. Now look at that. Ezekiel 36 from 20:25. He said, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. Now who is doing the cleaning? Who is doing the sprinkling? So it is his work. It is his work to do. Hallelujah. He said this again. Listen up, everybody. He said, I will. So God is saying, I will do it. And he did it in Christ. We already looked at that. So he said, I will do it. I will sprinkle clean water. And I told us that spring water is not talking about, shine, like, spraying water on people. No, that's not what I'm talking about. When we talk about sprinkling clean water, he's talking about his Spirit. We look at that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, 12, he said, but such were some of you, but you are washed, you are cleansed, you are sanctified in the name of Jesus by the Spirit. So he speaks of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So when he talks about cleansing or a cleansing, he speaks about his Spirit. How does God cleanse? Amen. He cleanses by his Spirit. God cleanses us by, for example, when you say, when you read in the scriptures, you say, the blood of Jesus cleansed me from all my sins. What you are talking about is actually his Spirit. Amen. It is not a red blood cell, neither a white blood cell. But we call it still. So it's the same thing. When you say, my sins were washed by his blood, it's the same. What you are trying to say is that my sins are washed by his Spirit. Amen. It's the same thing. Well, we looked at that before. Maybe just, you can put your hands there and go to Hebrews. Just go there. Hebrews. So he says, Hebrews chapter 9. He says, how much more? So Hebrews 9. Glory to God. Hebrews and chapter 9. If you're there, say Jesus is Lord. You are in 9, yeah? Okay, so we'll start. We jump to, let's read from verse 13. Hebrews 9:13. It says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifer, sprinkling the unclean. So listen up, everybody. What do you need to, what in the Old Testament, what were they sprinkling on the unclean? Blood of heifer, goats. So of bulls. They sprinkle it on the unclean. So when you sprinkle it on the unclean is said after sprinkling. The unclean will leave you, certain that what? He has been cleaned. So, but now, that was in the Old Testament, as a shadow. But let's keep reading. He says, this blood sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through what? Offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience. So how does God do cleansing? It's through his spirit. It is through that spirit we say, well, it's the blood. So is it right for you to say, well, the blood of Jesus washed my sin? Yes. But I'm telling you so that you know what is at work. So what is at work is actually his blood. The same thing happened in Acts 15. You know, I was saying this, and I said this again to many of us. You know, many people, you will never know those who actually genuinely believe initially. For example, what I'm saying is that it's possible for us to say, well, how many of you want to receive Jesus? You know, you come out, you want to believe Jesus, and we have about 10 or 20 people lining up, say, well, I've come to confess. And let me say this to you, only God, 10 people may line up, but it may be that only 2 people actually believe the gospel. It may be 9, it may be 7. But how does God confirm that, hey, this person has believed? Look at that. Hebrews 15, by the Spirit, by the giving of the Spirit. Hebrews 15, are you there? Hebrews 15. So look at it. We read from verse 7. And when there had been so much dispute, Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel. And what? And believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them how? By giving them what? So by giving the Holy Spirit to them. So how does God acknowledge what transpires in the heart of man? By the giving of the Spirit. So what happens in the heart of man? He says, for with the heart, man believes. So for example, so what do we do? As believers, we present the gospel. So you present what Jesus has done on the cross. So when a man now confirms, believes in his heart, God acknowledges what transpires in his heart by giving what? The Spirit. So who does the cleansing of that person's spirit? The Spirit, that which is the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So the giving of the Spirit is that. This is very important. I have said before, anytime God wants to do anything, he always do it by the Spirit. So the new birth. So for example, if you say, well, I believe Jesus died for my sins. Oh yes, he died for my sins. I believe in my heart. What God does to you is by giving you what? The Spirit. So if you have believed the gospel here and you are listening to me, brothers and sisters, you have the Spirit. You have the Spirit in you. It's a confirmation. That's what you are. You've got the Spirit of God in you. Don't let anyone talk you out of that. That's what you've got. I've told us before. He can't go see water. Awa yaya water. Bojo me water. You know, it is in the baptism that I am, it is in the, you know, inside water that I'm saved. Bojo me water is even from Jordan water. It's even from the Congo Sea water. It's even from Atlantic Ocean. But different constituents, but the Spirit is the same across board. When you go to India, it's the same Spirit. You go to China, it's the same Spirit. The same Spirit that was with the prophet is the same Spirit in Acts 2. It's the same Spirit in Acts 10. It's the same Spirit in Acts 18. It's the same Spirit till today. And it will be the same Spirit 1,000 years from now. It's the same Spirit in Genesis 1:1. That one, so that's what I'm saying. It is totally carnal to attach your salvation to water. Very carnal. Like extremely carnal. That's why Jesus said. He said, see, John verily baptized with water. But you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. When John was doing it, John said, see, I do it with water. But see, when John, see, Paul also gave the example. Paul said, hey, John baptized with water unto repentance. But he said that someone is coming after me. It's true, I'm not worthy to talk. He said, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Like I told us, I said, this does not stop water, okay? It does not stop water. Anyone can be baptized in water. People who come say, well, I want to baptize with water. I said, okay, good. No problem. We can help you do that. But reminding you that your salvation is connected to the Spirit, not to Ikogosi water, neither Bojomi water, nor a small pool that we create. H2O, Cana. And that's how you say, ah, hey. He said there's an anointing in bread, in agege bread, and wine, Cana. Cana, unleavened bread. See, it's that at all we make bread. All the bread that we make here for communion service, that we eat here, I mean, we take for communion service, we make them. We make them. I mean, some minister that you make them. The only thing is, not, it does not come from heaven. It's not as okay, maybe one day. I remember when I was growing up, I was in a Catholic, you know, school. And, I mean, for a long time, to be honest, for about 6 years, I never knew there was somebody that used to ring the bell. You know, there used to, some persons, who, you know, they ring the bell on that. So, anytime the priest, so we take communion. So, anytime the priest raises the glass, and when he raises the glass, we have, I look around, no bell. Nobody is ringing the bell. I didn't know they were ringing the bell on that. So, I'd always thought in my mind, well, wow, this is so divine. This is heavenly. Wow. This is super. Like, what? Like, there's an audible ringing of bell that everybody heard. Then one day I saw one guy came out of the place. I said, ah. So that's how it happens. This is not a talk down, of course. No. I do communion. We do communion. This is not the talk down communion. No, we do communion. I'm saying that it's not in the agege bread. Neither is it in the wine. It's in what Jesus did on the cross. It is, that is what we put our mind on. Even why, so it's a kind of representation of what has happened in the spirit. What happened on the cross. Amen. So look at that again. Where did we start from again? Exactly. So first and foremost, you must know we have the Spirit of God in you. John. So the leading of the Spirit. So we're looking at the leading of the Spirit first. Number one, you must know this. That if you are indeed, you have believed Jesus died for your sin. You have believed, okay? The Spirit, the leading of the Spirit is with you. And let me tell us this, everybody listening to me. There is no one single believer who has received the Spirit, indeed, amen, that anything will happen to, that he will not know, or have known, or have sensed. So, except, you have been so carnal. You have watched a lot of, you know, Big Brother Ninja. You have listened to all kind of music that doesn't, you know, hey man, I'm serious. That's why. Let me tell you something. Somebody who is believing God for, you know, that's another problem, you know. Somebody who is believing God for healing, you know, because the Bible, okay, look at it. Isaiah, John 16. John 16, individuals who are believing God for healing. John 16, are you there? John 16 verse, let's jump to verse, John 16. John 16 says, in verse 13, he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, what will he do? He will guide you into what? Remember what we read earlier in Ezekiel 36. He said, I will give you my Spirit, I'll put it within you, and I will cause you to walk in my judgment and my statutes. So what the Spirit will do? So now if you agree indeed, okay, we are going to scripture, that the Spirit of God in you is in you, it means that it's not in you crossing leg, it's in you leading you. So you have the leading of the Spirit by default. You have the leading of the Spirit. Say, I have the leading of the Spirit. Look at it again. He said, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he will hear, he will speak. For he will tell you things to come. Now, I think very important to say this. By saying things to come, of course, he's talking clearly about what Christ would do on the cross, his burial, resurrection. Those four events, Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and ascensions, those four, is four. But in those four events, there are so many things. So he says, the Spirit will tell you things to come. So it is solid to say that the giving of the Spirit, okay, revealed what Christ has done in those four events. Okay? But beyond that, the Spirit of God will tell you what Christ has done, what Christ is doing in you, and what Christ will do for you in Christ. I repeat again. The Spirit of God will reveal and guide you on what Christ has done for you in Christ, what he's doing for you in Christ, and what he will do for you in Christ. So, but first and foremost, recognize this, that the Spirit is what? Is in you. Amen. The Spirit is what? Amen. That's why I was saying that the leading of the Spirit is, you know, it will guide you to all truth. Many people, some people say, well, I'm believing God for healing. Look at those. I'm believing God for healing. You come for Sunday meeting, hands are laid on you, for example, and you are still believing, God for healing. So probably we'll tell you, well, on Sunday meeting, a word came that about healing. So you pick that word. Are we together, everybody? You pick the word, but you go back home. Amen. And you listen to, you begin to listen to, you know, you watch Big Brothers Nigeria. No, I'm not speaking against you. You watch Big Brothers Nigeria. I'm speaking against it, yes. You watch Big Brother Nigeria. You watch all the one, you know, movies, all kind of movie. Yenjasha, you know, all kinds of movie, vampire stories, how they are, you know, drinking blood and everything. And this is you. You have the fear of death. And you are sick in your body and you need healing. Now the word is spoken. Are we getting what I'm trying to say here? Now the word is spoken to you. But you go back home. And when you now come to meetings and we say, well, you are beautiful beyond description, you start crying. You are deceiving yourself. Let me say, see, listen up, everybody. The thing is this. When we say, well, you are beautiful beyond description, I'm talking about Kana, a son who has been. Okay, I'm trying my best not to make sure that this is too hard. All right? Okay. What I'm trying to say is that if you are indeed, you said the Spirit of God will do what? We guide into what? It will guide you also into your healing. But what I'm trying to say is that why is guiding you into your healing? You don't get your mind occupied with carnal things. Because it is, see, okay, let me show you, let's do something. Are we together, everybody? So say I've got the Spirit of God in me. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2. If 1 Corinthians 2. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2 and chapter. Let's start from chapter 8. He says this. Okay, from 9. He said, but it is written, 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now look at it again. He said, eyes have not seen. So in this place, he gave us three major ways, major gates of information into man. One is through the eyes, okay? Two, through what? The ear. So what you see and what you hear. And the last one is what? The heart of man. In fact, the most important of it all is the heart of man. By heart here is interchangeably, you can say, well, it's the mind or soul or spirit. They use both together. So, but this is, the eyes have not seen nor ear heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man. So by saying eyes have not seen, are we together, everybody? Neither has your ear heard. Those two ways of information. But he says this, he says in verse 10, he said, but God has revealed them to us. How? So the Spirit will reveal what eyes have not seen, nor ear heard. But he said he has revealed it to us by the Spirit. And what will the Spirit do? He said, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Now, look at that. He said, we have received what? Not the spirit of the world. So, but this is my emphasis in this chapter. He says, eyes have not seen nor ear heard. Okay? So, I'm emphasizing on this mode of information because he said the heart has not conceived it. So what do we mean by the heart has not conceived it? In other words, it has not come to the understanding of man. Are we together? Listen. So for example, he says, eyes have not seen nor heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man. So when he says he has not entered into the heart of man, he's talking about the understanding. So, or better still, the mind. For example, when the Bible says this, he said, if I pray in the spirit, my spirit prays. But my understanding is what? So that understanding, I'm talking about the mind. So the mind that interprets information is unfruitful. Okay, look at it again. That's why Paul will say in Ephesians, he says, I pray that your eyes of understanding be enlightened. So what did he mean when he says, I pray that your eyes of understanding be enlightened? He's saying that I want your mind, your understanding, to be lighting up. Okay? So it will be easy for you to pick things from the spirit. So we're going somewhere again. Are you following everybody? So man is a spirit that has a soul and dwells in the body. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you dwell in the body. Now, in your spirit, that's where the Spirit of God is united with your spirit. Look at it again. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 6 and chapter 19. 1 Corinthians, 15. 1 Corinthians 6, 15. Do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make it a member of our Lord? Certainly not. 16. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall be what? One flesh. But he who is joined with the Lord, to the Lord, is what? Now listen, everybody. So he says that he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So when I believe the gospel, he acknowledges the oppression in my heart by giving me what? The spirit. So when he gives you the spirit, your spirit is joined with the spirit of God. So there is togetherness. So as it is now, your spirit and the spirit of God are one together. Amen. You, your spirit. Tell me, Abby. Good. Your spirit and God's spirit is what? Is one together. Your spirit is one with the spirit of God. So now, if man indeed is a spirit, there is a soul and there is a body. So in your spirit, informations gotten in your spirit are always and will always be accurate, be certain, profound, accurate. But where the challenge is taking it, picking those informations from your spirit that is one with the spirit of God and bringing it to their body or from your mind, because the mind picks it from the spirit. Are we together here? Am I communicating to us here? The mind, your mind, we pick this information from the spirit. Then in your body, you give utterance to it. So you give utterance to it by using your mouth and say, the Lord said, or the spirit said. But what is picking it from your spirit is your mind. So Paul will tell them that I'll pray that the eyes of your understanding, what does it mean? That the eyes of your mind be enlightened. So in your spirit, there is illumination. But your mind, he said, I pray. Paul said, he said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you are able to renew your mind, then you will be able to approve what is that good, what is that acceptable, what is that perfect will of God. But how do you come to, so the will of God is in your spirit. Hey, see, let me even say this to you. Everybody listen up. Listen up. Masu. Listen up. You don't get, God does not broadcast to you from a far station. See, listen. God does not broadcast. So I'm using radio now. God does not broadcast. You know, it's an FM station. OSRC. NTA. CNN. You know, when you say CNN, you know their station is in U.S. So that's where they are broadcasting from. So you have your TV and you pick antenna and you are trying to search. Have you see? I don't know. Maybe children of nowadays, maybe I don't use that. You know. We grew up. We put antenna. My dad would tell us, go outside, roll it. Is he picking it? So we roll it. I don't know if you experienced that to you. Okay, some of us don't know how that works. Okay, so we'll go out. We'll be rolling it. We'll put it up more. Say, short it clear. Is it clear? Is it clear now? Say, shh. Then you breach. No, it's not clear. No, stop. You know what I'm trying to say? Stop. Oh, go back. So what you're doing is that you're trying to pick the frequency from a broadcasting station. But for a believer, okay, the broadcasting station is in you. So it's not from afar. And I'm emphasizing this for a reason. So the broadcasting station is in your spirit. He said you are one with the spirit. You are one with God. He that is joined with the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. He's in your spirit. So in other words, where are you looking from or looking for to get information? From your spirit. So you are looking to get information from your spirit. But how do you get information? Your mind needs to be renewed properly so that you'll be able to accurately conclude better, to make better decisions. Are you getting what I'm trying? That's what, that is the reason why I went to Big Brother Naija. For example, not just Big Brother Naija, but that's what came to my mind. Any other thing? Somebody said, well, somebody who is struggling with, they have given you, they said, well, there's terminal disease, and you go home and you begin to watch Die Hard. I am trying to say. So, I'm not saying, see, look at it. I'm not even against movies. One of my disciples in the church. And after teaching, we only meet and teach for 1 hour in a week. After doing disciple meeting, I saw one day she put on her status and she said, God, where are you? All those rock songs. I'm dead. I'm wicked. I'm this. I'm that. I said, all the work I have been doing. I said, big, please now. This is not good because this is a person who is literally struggling with some certain oppression. And now he only has 1 minute or 1 hour with you. That's what I'm saying. As you gather here, many of us only here for 1 hour or 2 hours, 3 hours in a week. Many will not even come for midweek service. So you go back home as many, even as we are finishing service. Somebody who's trusting of our finances, trusting of a miracle. As we finish service, what you are listening to, do information by air. If I broke, thank you, yes. If I broke, climb up, thank you for that. You just finished trusting God for finance. I said, well, if I broke my business, and you stand up, you dance, you listen to it all the time. And you say, well, Pastor, this thing is not working. God is not, I don't know if God is true. Where is God? God is true. God is true. And the same person, after listening to If I Broke My Business, throughout the week, will come on Sunday, you are beautiful beyond description. Because because he's talking to his boyfriend. But that's some people really, to be honest, some people see Jesus as a boyfriend. So, like that perfect boyfriend. So, when you need to cry, why are you crying? Why are you crying? Because it's your boyfriend. You have to, that's by the way. You have to identify yourself. You have to define that by yourself. Glory to God. But every believer has what? The leading of the Spirit. But how they decode information is just what differs. How you bring it? He said, lo, I am with you. Always. That's what he said. He said, I'm with you. Look at that. Let's go back our, act. We did a little of act last week. Hallelujah. So where do you need to do the labor? You need to labor in the word. So why are you laboring in the word? So that your mind is what? Renewed. So when your mind is renewed, what will now happen? You'll be able to prove. You'll be able to pick properly. But does it mean that you cannot pick now? You can pick. You can pick. But the issue will be that sometimes your conclusion may be wrong. But it will be true that you are the leading. But how you concluded it may be wrong. We saw that in the book of Acts. Let's look at Acts 16 again. Amen. Acts 16, it says that when they had gone through Phrygia, Acts 16:6, it says that when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, okay, they were what? Forbidden. So that's what we call, they were forbidden how? By what? Now, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now, how were they forbidden? Like I told us, it's not an articulated voice that came out in the sky. The forbidden, the app they were forbidden, is the broadcast station is not from afar. It's from within. So they knew from within that, we shouldn't. The word forbidden there is, like I told us, is to be bad. He stopped. So in other words, they wanted to do. So they were not lazy believers. They are ready believers, ready to preach. So as they wanted to go, they had gone to this place. They were ready to go to this place and they were forbidden by the Spirit. So it was like a nudge in the Spirit. A nudge in the Spirit. It was like, most of the time, it's always like an hindrance in your spirit. Something, a discomfort in your spirit. An unease in your spirit. It's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's just a discomfort in your spirit that something is wrong. Proceeding forth like this is wrong. And let me tell you something, you will not know all the details. Look at, let's keep reading. He said, we're forbidden to preach where? In Asia. So you will not know why is the Lord forbidding us to go to Asia. Now, I told us once again, I think I was saying it one time here. As I see, sometimes it could be that God has prepared somebody for Asia. And the person that God has prepared for Asia has a perfect fit for Asia. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about yet. There are certain, let me say, it could be. There are certain individuals that their experiences, God will use your some of your experiences, okay, to use it to communicate the gospel to another. Look at Paul. Paul had gotten Roman citizenship. He had gotten all those things and he was a Jew. It was easy for him to even penetrate the Jews, the Gentiles. When they were about to flog him, he said, I'm a citizen now. He said, yeah, I got my certificate, my TLC. Yeah, he said, I got my TLC. You could be, some of you say you are in language class now. You think you are in language class because you want to go and study medicine or practice. But it could be that at your language class, God is using it to prepare you to preach in certain places. So for someone who now speaks English, like me now, and I say, well, I want to go to Germany. But you, for example, you have been, you have been going to language class to go and practice nursing in Germany. And suddenly God said, well, Nife, don't go. Let Monica go. Okay? But I don't know the reason why. So I could be forbidden of the Holy Spirit to go to proceed further for certain reasons. But my point is that the details is with him. But for us, what we need to do is just to obey. Are we together? So what we do is that when there is a leading, what do you do? And when you obey the leading of the Spirit, much more will come. When you disobey one, you'll be getting others in twinkle, twinkle, little star. I'm not saying it will stop, but you get a twinkle, twinkle, little star. It happened to the children of Israel. They obeyed what should take them 4 weeks or 40 days. Okay? They disobeyed what should take them 40 days. It took them 40 years. In those 40 years, they were still hearing. There was a hearing. There was still a level of leading. Amen. Praise God. But last, by the way, let's keep reading. Are we there? Where did I stop? Verse 7. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia. Did you see? He said the what? They tried. Another version said they assayed. Do you have it in your version like that? He said they assayed. You know the meaning of they assayed? Like they calculated, like, okay, Bithynia. Okay, if you look at it, we go to Bithynia. Okay, me, I speak English. Okay, you speak Bithynia language. Okay, oh, God. Oh, we all speak Bithynia language. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, when you go to Bithynia, we go there, before we go there, we go there, we calculate. Okay, we got it all done. So they assayed. By assaying, have you done, you know, chemistry particle? You say assay. Eliza. So you assay. By assaying means you collect logical data. So in other words, the apostles were given to logic too. It's not as if, oh, they display logic. They calculated. But what happened there? He said they tried to go, but the Spirit what? Did not permit them. How did the Spirit did not permit them? It was a withdrawal. Like, say, no, don't go. Like, an unease in your spirit. And that is why some people say, well, something is telling me, shut up. Something. Look at it. He said, something is telling me. Somebody say, well, he said, it takes an idiot to say something. But that's not the way. Okay, well, I won't say you're an idiot. You're not an idiot. Okay, praise God. But he said, something is telling me not to go. Just imagine somebody tells you are a something. Imagine. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Imagine somebody tells you, like, imagine something, that somebody calls you something. I know you. You. He will take it personal. Something. Just imagine somebody calls you something. The Holy Spirit is not something. So what do you say? For example, when there is a nudge in your spirit, it is not out of line for you to say, well, I perceive in my spirit that, or the Spirit is telling me. See, what you have the right to say, because your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Don't feel too. See, you as you are, you can say it. Chichi, you can say it. How you going to try to say it? You can say, the Spirit of God is telling me to give this money to sister this. He says to brother, yeah. That's not the Spirit of God. That's not the Spirit of God. Praise God. Are you going to try to say it? You can see, it is not like I told us like this. See, for example, there are things that you do normally. Keep doing it normally. For example, you're reading normally. Keep reading. For example, it's not as if, see, don't be paranoid. Don't be led by anxiety. Like, oh, hey, so should I step out now? Holy Spirit, I want to check my spirit. Should I check out? Should I eat dodo? Should I eat rice? You're always checking your spirit to know where should I wear green? Should I close my eyes? Should I open it now? Should I go? These guys were normally preaching before. So anywhere they are going, they're preaching. Anywhere they're going, they're preaching. So where they wanted to go, they were forbidden. So they were doing things that they normally do. So you do the thing. I'm not saying you become paranoid. Say, hey, what should I do now? What should I do? But this is the point. Is it possible for the Holy Spirit to say to close your eyes and to stop breathing? Yes. But it will normally not tell you that. So for example, it's like you are somewhere and there is a gas pollution. And the Holy Spirit, and the gas pollution will be there for 2 minutes. And the Holy Spirit say, well, as you are about to step here, seize your breath for 1 minute and run out. And you don't know why. So you could have such leading. But normally you breathe. It's not as if you'll be saying that, Holy Spirit, should I breathe now? You should do what you are doing, what? Normally. But let's keep reading. But to be fair, because I'm trying to help us a little bit here, so that as believers, you will know how to be led. You won't be saying, when some of us are saying the Spirit of God is telling me, you won't be bamboozled. I've never bamboozled what the Spirit of God is telling me. I've never bamboozled. What bamboozles me, okay, largely the most, is when somebody can explain Christ from the world. I say, wow. Eh? Because the leading of the Spirit is for everybody. Everybody. Hallelujah. We'll look at that maybe next week. Because there's a correlation, there's a pattern to the leading of the Spirit, the inward witness, and the scripture. There's always a pattern. There's always a pattern. Always a pattern. But let's keep reading. So look at it. Verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Okay? And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So what happened? Paul saw a vision of a Macedonian man, telling Paul in that vision, come to us. Now in verse 10, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to where? So we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding. What did another version say? Assuredly what? Gathered. Thank you. He said, is it here? He said, assuredly what? Gathering. So, gather. What do you mean by gathering? You pick it. So, they are assuredly gathering that God is telling us to go and preach in where? Macedonia. Where did they get the information they are gathering from? From the Spirit. Of course, Paul brought the data. And what data did Paul bring here is a vision. So, the other believers also will check their spirit. So, they now gather and assuredly gathered and concluded that, okay, let's go to Macedonia. You know, what I'm trying to say to you here is that the leader of the Spirit is in our spirit, but from their mind, we pick what? Data. From the data, you conclude in your body whether to step out or to give an utterance to it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? I have told us here before, some person I've seen before, someone said, well, he perceived that your husband is with another woman now. Now. I've seen it before. It's another woman. Call his number. And that person, indeed, he has an impression that that's what is happening in the family. There is unfaithfulness in his family. But based on his own mind and understanding, he decided to destroy the family. Am I communicating here? So, but when other believers, hey, whoa, and he got the power, and he got it. He did not got it. He has destroyed them. He did not edify the family. So, for example, when you gather in your spirit, that there is something about your family, unfaithfulness your family. Okay, can you see me after service? I would like to speak to your husband alone. So, you call the husband as a pastor. Husband, come. It's not good, though. Why was me? I lead there. Call you. Okay. Husband, wife, come. Both of you. You have to come together. Look, are you going to say, yeah? You apply the wisdom of the spirit and the word. So, what I'm trying to say, the information you gather in the spirit, you can use it to destroy yourself. And the only way you can properly use it well is when your mind is being renewed. How will your mind be renewed? In the word. Look at it. Let's go to 17 again. We used those scriptures last week. And now we... Act 18. Praise the Lord. Act 18, chapter 18. G. Mason. Act 18, are you there? He says, and after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born on Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Verse 3, so because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they by occupation were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and the Greek. So look at that. Like I told us last week, and I want to emphasize it again for a reason. The Spirit of God put the impression in me to reemphasize this. Now, Paul has always been preaching in this synagogue, both to the Jews and the Greek, every Sabbath, every Saturday, not Sunday. So he has been doing that, okay? Every time. Because that was the time they were gathering. Some of you are looking at me, Sabbath. Sabbath is not Sunday, it's Saturday. All right. So he was meeting with them every Saturday. They were doing all those things. He's been teaching, doing normal teaching. You know, sometimes, it happened to me several times. There are persons who will come to your life and they will change your life forever. There are associations you will make. They will bring your life down for a long time. Amen. So you also need the leading of the Spirit. So no, look at it. So the next verse, verse 5 says, when the guy has been preaching normally before, he's been doing purpose normally before. Verse 5, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Has he not been preaching before? Before they came, has he not been talking before? But immediately they came, the Bible says he was compelled, he was pressed them on. Exclusively. Where is that part? Is it NIV? Exclusively. I'm saying they are coming up. Amen. By God's grace, I've been pastoring this church for the past 10 years. There are certain individuals that immediately they step into the church like they come and say, okay, Father, I give you all the glory. It is normal. It happens. Amen. You will be such in the name of Jesus. That your coming will bring consolation to many. In the name of Jesus. And your coming, you too, as I'm praying the prayer, you also check your life too. That my coming, does it add to the promoting of the gospel? Is he inspiring others to preach them? Paul got to Athens. The Bible says he was provoking the Spirit. He said he was compelled there. Yeah. He's the leading of the Spirit. He's in word witness. To be compelled means to be pressed in the Spirit. So it's like a pressure, like an unease. So he was pressed in the Spirit to do more. Hallelujah. So he said, some people wonder, immediately that brother and that these two people entered, joined this church. There's something about the choir. Choir changed. Immediately this person joined choir. Choir changed. Immediately this person joined ushering. Ushering changed. Immediately, are you going to say, it is like that. Make sure God is using you like that. Amen. There are certain persons that immediately used to preach before well, used to give prophecy, but immediately they came to your life. You stop preaching. Amen. You stop preaching, you stop talking the word. You have to note that and immediately you run. Because those things are the things that are inhibiting the flow of the Spirit. This impression I'm talking about is the impression of the Spirit. I'm just picking these things, you know, as they come. All right, let's go to 20 again. Don't worry, I'll round up now. Okay, very soon. Thank you. We'll say this again. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Acts chapter. You know, I told us this last week, that there were some people who told Paul that thus saith the Spirit of the Almighty God, don't go to Jerusalem. And I told us that they were wrong in their utterance. But the impression was not wrong. So in other words, they picked the information from their mind. Their understanding picked it. But, in fact, they picked the information was in their spirit. But based on their own understanding, they were like, this guy will die. So they translated the impression to me. Don't look at it now. Look at Hebrew, Act 20. Are you there? Act 20, he says, from verse 1, he said, now it came to pass that when we are departed from them, we set sail and returned straight to course of Kono. Let's jump because of time. All those things. Verse 3, and when we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left and sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload our cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. Now, they told Paul, what did they tell Paul? They tell Paul through the Spirit, what did they tell him? Not to go up. I'm reading verse 4, isn't it? Act 24. Act 24, it said, they told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. Act 21, 4. Forgive me. So we also miss it too. It's because we miss it. See, that's not something I want us to also know. I thought I wanted to touch about it. It's possible for some persons to even miss it. It's possible. But let's keep reading. Okay, I miss it by going to Act 24. So that's my own understanding, you get? My own. So I gave utterance. So the utterance I gave was Act 24, Abby. No, the first utterance I gave. Why did you not go 24? Okay, I gave back 20 utterance. But that's not what was in my mind. So it happens like that too. Okay. So Act 21, verse 4. So he said he had sailed to Syria. So he found certain disciples and stayed with them how many days? And they told Paul, through the Spirit, not to go up to Jerusalem. For 7 days. They told him, thus said the Spirit of the Almighty God. Don't go. You know why? See, that's what I'm telling you. It's inward witness. So but by the inward witness, their understanding pick it up that there is something. But when they gave utterance to it, the utterance was wrong. You know why? Look at it. What Paul said in Acts 20, 22. In Acts 20, 22, look at what Paul said. Acts 20, 22, Paul said, and he says, and see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me. And I told it and I repeat it again. You don't necessarily need to know the details. I have done businesses, stepped out, gave money to people by the Spirit. I don't know the details. All I needed to know is that I need to obey the leading of the Spirit. I'll share a testimony. It has happened to me several times. Oh, God. But I remember I needed to pay my house rent. It was 600 lari. I've told those before. Pastor Solomon, you know, of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, yeah, he said he took, a week before that time, he took 600 lari and put it apart. He said, I wanted to take the money to spend the money. He said, he just felt on his in the spirit that, don't spend the money. I said, no, don't take this money. He said, I didn't know what was up. He said, but just put it down under his pillow. Then, after that, they just decided to call me. Ah, Pastor, how are you doing? Ah, I said, I'm fine. Ah, he said, ah, is everything? He said, ah, Pastor, do you need any? He said, while he was talking, he said, do you need any money? I said, ah, I need money. Oh, ah, I've not paid my house rent. How much is it? I said, 600 lari. 600 lari. Ah. He came. I said, this is there for the past 1 week. I wanted to spend this money. I don't have any money, but I could not spend it. And he brought 600 lari. Another one, I told us here, in church here, I was living here, I was paying $200 per month. I told us this testimony. I had $100. That night, I went on my knees, I cried, God, I need $100. And that woman came from America. She came with her fiancé, okay? Amen. You know what I mean by this?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, this fiancé, you know, those Nigerian guys that wanted to place mat. You know, they date somebody online and everything. So, the guy came, the lady came to Georgia to meet the fiancé. So, and coming, so the fiancé goes to Frederick Casey Price. So, it's a woman of the Spirit. So, she prayed all through the night. And while she was praying, she was led in the Spirit to give the $100 to Pastor Gabriel. So they told the fiancé, that who is Pastor Gabriel? He said, I don't know Pastor Gabriel. But when we get to church, we ask Pastor Nife, who is Pastor Gabriel? So after service, they came to meet me. And I said, are you Pastor? Do you know who is Pastor Gabriel? I said, I'm Pastor Gabriel. I said, Pastor, they looked at me and said, now she gave me the $100. I opened it in their front. Amen. I saw $100. I shook her. Thank you for knowing how to hear God. And you know, like I told us, where is the broadcasting station again? So it's not like she heard audibly like, hey, go now. I am with you. Lo behold, go and meet him. No. So she came, there's an impression in her spirit to do that. The same thing happened to me. I went to minister, even this Nigeria, I went to minister. I remember those days, I went to minister somewhere. I had an impression to, when they gave me honorarium then, as they gave me the honorarium, I was like, as they gave me the honorarium, thank God. As I took it, every envelope, I took it then. So why took it? The Holy Spirit said, no, it's not yours. Don't open it. It's not like, oh, yeah, it's not yours. Like, it's not like they say, oh, Nife, don't open now. No, I had an impression in my spirit that if I open it, so I have an impression in my spirit that opening it is dangerous. That fear of not opening it, that's what I'm trying. Fear. It's an impression in the spirit. And I took the money, and I took the money to church. And the Lord said, go front. And I knew in my spirit, there's an impression. Go and drop it in the offering basket. I went to drop it. There are times, sometimes, I just have an impression in my spirit. So last week, about 4 months ago, I was praying, and the Lord, there was a burden in my spirit for some persons. But I don't know who the person was. So I started praying in tongues. I prayed in tongues. I didn't know what it was, so because I don't know the details. So I had prayed in tongues. I had prayed in tongues for a while. I didn't get exactly what, you know, I didn't pick it. So anytime I didn't pick it like that, I just ignore it. So I just went on Facebook. I saw some Georgian, one of the Georgians. I just click their picture, went to the profile picture, click friends. You know, I don't know what I was doing around, okay? I was clicking friends. Of course, I was just, you know, what did they call it again? Stalking. Yeah, I was doing the stalking thing. You know, click friends. So I click friends, lo and behold, and I saw somebody say, hey, so this person, so you mean I saw the guy's picture? I just said, yes, this is who the body was for. So I clicked it. I sent a message. Hey, how are you? The guy said, oh, I've been looking for you for days. The guy had gone into the world. So I went to preach sometimes ago in the roast avi. So in the course of my meeting, the guy got filled with the Holy Ghost. After talking in tongues, okay, I left. You know, I traveled. I left. That was like 4 years ago. So he spoke in tongues. After that time, not long after that time, he started doing drugs, died drinking, just everywhere, living as he likes. So about a month to the time I sent a message, he came back. He's trying to find his way back to Christ. So at that point, he's looking for me to see how we can meet up to help him. So by that time, I was praying. There was a burden. I just checked. The leading of spirit is like that. It's just an inward impression. And for me, when I will now tell him, I will now say, the Spirit of God told me, or I knew by the Spirit to contact you. So what I have done is I gave utterance to what? To the impression. So look at what Paul, forgive me, 5 minutes, I'll round up, I promise you. Look at chapter 22, are we? 22. Eh? No, 2022. He says, and see now I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and what? Tribulation awaits me. That's why I love Paul. Paul understood that, hey, the impression, even when those guys came to Paul and told Paul that, the Spirit of God is saying, don't go. What Paul was getting is that, they have gotten the impression, okay, that tribulation awaits me. They are just, this is where their conclusion is from. Because Paul is a mature guy. You understand that, okay, this is what is happening here. How you get what I'm trying to say here? So you must understand. You know why I'm saying all this to everybody? Listen up. What I'm saying is that the leading of the Spirit is with you. I was telling a friend of mine when I went to Nigeria, one of our friends died, okay? So three of us. So one died, and we're discussing. So I said, Pastor Nife, he said, I cried. Why me? Why God? Why God? Why God? Why God? Because I know this guy is a man of, he has a purpose. He's doing the things of the Spirit. He's doing God's work. He wants to do God. So I asked him, I told her, there's no way anything can happen to any believer that you will never know. The frequency is in your spirit. But the only way it differs is obeying the instruction of the Spirit. One or two, some are not picking it well because they are filled with BB Niger. So I'm using BB Niger as an example. Sorry, not only BB Niger. I'm saying if indeed you want to walk as a son of God, indeed, to walk in the leading of the Spirit, you have to deliberately devoid yourself of certain things that will be dust, that will stick into your earrings, your heart, your mind can't pick things because you are giving yourself so much to carnal things. I'm not saying be earthly useless. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that ensure that you don't give yourself so much to fleshy things, carnal things. It affects how you pick information and instructions. And most at the end of the day, they will begin to fault people around you. That why me, God? What happened? Why me? No. If I let me say this to you, if indeed you are loaded with the word, I'm rounding up with this. If you are loaded with the word and you allow the word of God to form the pattern of your thinking, even when your expectations don't come true, the way you interpret situations will be different. Why somebody as a situation happens, basically I think, this life self, I don't even know whether I'm the next. I'm next. Last week it's my uncle. It could be me next week. It's a sign that you are not loaded in the world. Because when you are loaded in the world, the way you interpret and see things will be different. You will see the pattern in the scriptures. And it will help you, encourage you. Now I'm dropping three things that the word of God and the Spirit of God will bring to you. The Spirit of God will encourage you. Amen. The Spirit of God will do what? Will encourage you. The Spirit of God, through the impression of the Spirit, will give encouragement. And that's what many of us like. When the Spirit of God encourages us, or better still, motivate us. Encouragement, motivate. We like it. That's when you will see people say, oh, yeah, you are so good. God, you are so good. How marvelous is your name, oh Lord. Oh, because you are receiving encouragement. But when most of the time, but the Spirit of God will also correct us. And that's why many people don't like. Let me say this to you, everybody listen, listen, everybody listen, oh, listen. No man likes correction. By default, including me. Not just man, human beings, we don't like correction. So that's why when you have been corrected, when the Spirit of God corrects you, you are beautiful. When you are being corrected, but the correction is for you. Many people don't like correction. You need it. And that's what the Spirit of God will do, will correct you. Through that inward witness, he will tell you, there is something that you want to do. He's sweetening you to do it. And the Spirit of God will correct you not to do it. Ah. And say, ah. Father, I rebuke you. You've seen individuals where the Spirit of God will tell you, you collect your money. Your own money, $500. Let's say somebody give you $500. Entire $500. And the Spirit of God is telling you to go and take this $500 and go and give to another brother. Ah. It's not always. It's a leading. Those leadings are there. And it will always be there. Hallelujah. You can talk in tongues for a few minutes. If you can just talk in tongues. If you can talk in tongues. Just talk in tongues for a few minutes. Talk in tongues for a few minutes. Brados kia namasko.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed.